Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio, and this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, step right up, don't be shy. That would be the next lyric, ladies and gentlemen. In case you don't know the song, I'm Debbie Monterey, and it's 8:34. Welcome to Overtime. It is Thursday, March the 26th, and I just repeat that because I know a lot of you are waking up at home for a day, who knows, and you're like, what day is it? Is it Wednesday? What's the date? Anyway, Charlie Brennan knows what time it is. He is joining us from his home studios. Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's Thursday.
I know, sometimes it's easy to lose track.
Well, here's how I know it's Thursday, Debbie, because I have my hairstyle Fisher & Young coffee mug. And Brad Young always joins us on Thursdays.
Aw. But he won't today, right? He's not joining us from some other location. Okay. Good morning, Amy Markscores.
Good morning, Debbie.
All right. Well, let's start with, we heard from CBS News. They just had the update at 8:31. And unemployment benefits, this was not unexpected. I think it might have been a little better than Wall Street was expecting, meaning not as high, but 3.2 million people may have filed for unemployment benefits in the past week, and that is the largest number ever in such a short time, an indication of just how hard the labor force has been hit by this abrupt shutdown of a huge part of our economy because of the coronavirus. Do you think that this rush for unemployment benefits, these numbers will continue at this rate, Charlie, or do you think this is going to be the big one and then just a few, well, not a few, but less than this from week to week?
Oh, I think it's going to get worse, because just think about it. Yesterday, the Cheesecake Factory announced that it was not going to pay its rent at any of its 260 restaurant locations for April anyway. What happens there? Okay, so the Galleria doesn't get that rent. It has less money. And so it'll have fewer dollars to pay its janitors and security guards and maintenance operators. And then there are people who probably have the Galleria in a real estate investment trust. They're going to lose money. That means they'll give less money to charity. They'll eat out less, you know, and so on and so forth. It happened already at the Convention and Visitors Commission, where they furloughed half their staff in downtown St. Louis after local hotels, in some cases, closing up, in other cases, just shutting off all, you know, entire floors. The CVC gets its money from the hotel motel tax. So I think if there's good news, it's that this is a medical problem. It's not an economic structural problem. I think we're going to get around the medical side of this. We got some great minds in this country. A vaccine will be developed in 12 to 18 months. I think most people are pretty confident about that. But in the short term, it's pretty bleak.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are going to look scary for a while. We see the same thing with the number of cases and the number of deaths from COVID-19. Even though we're taking measures, it takes a while for those measures to kick in before you see the benefit of, for instance, stay-at-home orders. Now, I'm hoping that with this massive, massive $2 trillion-plus bill that was just passed, that the money will quickly filter down to workers, will quickly filter down to businesses. I know there's $349 billion in loans to small businesses. And if people can just hang on, hopefully that will curb some of the worst losses. So I think we will see the numbers grow. But again, our country is resilient. It's innovative. It's resourceful. And I'm going to hope that people are able to figure things out to help people save their jobs or at least get back on their feet when things get back to normal.
The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, James Bullard, was on CNBC's Squawk Box yesterday, and he said the third quarter is going to be dismal. This is horrible. But he has high hopes for the fourth quarter because, as he said, this is not a problem of our economy. As Charlie said, it is a medical issue. So once everybody gets back to work, he's expecting huge pent-up demand. People will be out and about again, and he thinks that by fourth quarter, things could look fantastic.
Agree, yeah, maybe so. I hope that's true. Now, okay, hate to be Debbie Downer, or I'll say Donnie Downer.
Thank
here.
Thank you.
yeah, really. You've heard enough of that, I'm sure, through the years. Not to mention Little Debbie. Remember that from Mike Kelly? That
when you're snack hungry, Little Debbie has a snack for you.
But Anthony Fauci said one concern he has, and of course, he heads up the Allergy and Infectious Diseases Division of the National Institute for Health. It could be seasonal, so maybe we'll have a reprieve this summer when things get warm in St. Louis and elsewhere in North America. But then it could come back next October, which would be the fourth quarter. So I hope Bullard is right, but I think Fauci is worth listening to.
Yeah, and you know what? It's I know there will be a pent-up demand for bars, for sure, and hairstylists. I know someone mentioned that in a few weeks, everybody's going to learn what everyone's real hair color is. So maybe... those video conferencing meetings are going to get a little bit more tense, but there will be pent-up demand, and everyone's pray that those bars stay open, because we're going to want to go celebrate eventually when things... peter out a little bit. But I'm hoping with this second wave, you know, is there a chance that by that point there is some type of immunity built up? I don't know. I know one reason why this COVID-19 is so scary is because there's basically a universal lack of immunity.
Well,
will the virus mutate significantly? Maybe not. So I think we can hold out hope that the second wave won't be as bad. I don't think we know yet.
Well, that, and we get more and more information every time we test and every time we get results from a hospital or a doctor's office for a testing site. We're learning, for example, that men and those over 65 and those with pre-existing conditions are most vulnerable. So it's possible that we'll be able to have a response that's more tailored to certain groups of Americans and others, as opposed to the entire country. You know, there may be a time when we take a look at the numbers and say, okay, well, if it's very unlikely for a healthy 21-year-old to die from this, do we need to have all 21-year-olds quarantined? Or is the idea, hey, let's just make sure that the most vulnerable people are away from everybody else and really away?
KMOX News Time is 8:44. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Markscores and Charlie Brennan. This is a Phil Collins song, Take Me Home, which is very appropriate to the next topic, because some prisoners, or those who are incarcerated right now, are going home. This is actually a topic that we discussed last week, the possibility that people could be let out of jails and prisons because of coronavirus, and it is happening all across the country. Authorities in St. Louis City and St. Louis County were finalizing plans yesterday to immediately release more than 140 inmates from city and county jails out of concern of the spread of coronavirus. Part of the reason that prisons and jails are doing this, too, is that guards are getting sick and they're not coming in. It's putting added pressure on, and who's going to feed people and what happens when they get sick in jail. Any thoughts on this as the situation develops, Amy?
Well, I have a lot of doubts and concerns. You know, who exactly are they releasing? Why are these people in jail in the first place? Now, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the inmates being considered for release are likely to include nonviolent offenders. So that likely is a bit concerning of a caveat, because there might be some violent offenders being released. And I also wonder if these are people that are in jail for not following the laws when we weren't in a pandemic, how do we know that it makes the area any safer by releasing them into the public? Or can we guarantee that they will be following the shelter in place, that they'll be washing their hands, that they'll be following even stricter guidelines from the government? I understand the concerns in the jails, but I have my doubts.
Yeah, I saw that word too, likely. And that did not give me much comfort. Here we are now. We've decided to basically confine our senior citizens and free our inmates. I mean, is that where we are right now? And I'm looking right now at a letter from the Director of Public Safety for the City of St. Louis, Judge Jimmy Edwards, to the Circuit Attorney Kimberly Gardner, dated March 24th, just a couple of days ago. He's concerned. He writes to the circuit attorney, the release of certain individuals could create a public safety crisis in our region, and that many victims and communities will be caught off guard by their perpetrator's sudden release. Think about this. My words, not his. Witnesses, victims now know that those who are alleged to have hurt them, possibly, or sold them drugs or whatever, who knows why they're in there, that now they're going to be back in the neighborhood. And he says, I trust that your office will oppose the release of recidivist offenders that routinely inflict serious and violent harm on our communities. I would say, at the very least, Debbie, we should have an ankle bracelet on these individuals so that they are confined to their houses just like we are to ours.
Right. I mean, you think of guys who may be in jail because of multiple DWIs. Are we safer for having them out on the roads if they continue to break that? Or domestic assault offenders? You know, I wouldn't feel safe if I'm a family, I'm confined to my home, and now you have someone who's been in prison for domestic assault. Again, I don't know, but I think it's very concerning.
All right, Dee, we've talked yesterday about President Trump talking about getting the country back to work by Easter. Some people think that's a great idea. Some people think it's irresponsible. But then President Obama chimed in yesterday. We, in all honesty, haven't heard much from him. He does tweet occasionally. He shows up to some stuff. But really, he's kept a fairly low profile. But yesterday, he urged Americans to continue with social distancing, despite the call to reopen the economy in 2 weeks. Any problems or surprise of President Obama choosing this time to make his voice heard, Charlie?
Well, he's right. At the same time, the current president, Trump, hasn't really said he's going to reopen the economy, but he might say in certain areas that there will be different regulations than, let's say, New York City or Seattle or Northern California, which might be reasonable because when you think about it, let's say somebody's living in rural Missouri on a farm 2 miles from anybody else. That person may not have the same restrictions as someone living on the east side of Manhattan. But I think at some point we're going to come around and say, wow, what are the costs of being confined? The loneliness, the depression, we know. I mean, we've been told forever that you have to mingle with others, that we're social animals. What's going to happen after 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks or 2, 3, 4, 5 months when we are, you know, basically segregated from each other? I don't know. I mean, sometimes that loneliness and despair can have very serious effects, serious health effects, just like this virus.
Yeah, and you know, President Trump did walk back his statement that he made the other day when he talked about reopening the economy on Easter, saying, well, it wouldn't be this big sweeping open. Perhaps we open segments of the economy. And I think we need to still focus on social distancing and the measures that are in place now. But it's not wrong to talk about an exit strategy. And it's responsible to talk about an exit strategy. And also it's hope giving to say, hey, let's hang on. We are working on a plan to get us out of this untenable situation. It's a necessary temporary situation where we're at stay at home and we have the economy shut down. But we are working on ways, even as we speak, on how to get out of this. And I think that's really important. So I don't think the president necessarily expressed that the right way, but the fact that he did kind of walk back the statement and said, this is how we're planning to maybe open up portions of the economy, that's hope-giving. Because as Charlie mentioned, just having seeing no end goal or not seeing someone work towards an end goal and just being locked up in your house can be very depressing. And well, you don't
and
want
knows?
That.
Maybe we're going to make great strides in increasing the number of beds available, masks, ventilators, and we'll be able to, that's the whole point of this social isolation right now. What we're trying to do is prevent a huge spike in the cases that would overwhelm the hospitals. But if we're better prepared for sick cases, which might be inevitable until we get a vaccine, maybe we will be able to loosen things to some extent if the medical community is prepared to respond. I mean, that's the big issue right now. We're not prepared to respond.
All right, we need to take a break here, but when we come back, would another presidential debate cheer everyone up? That's one of the topics we'll get to in round three of OT. It's 8:54, round three of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey. This is Charlie Brennan along with Amy Markscores. And it's probably something a lot of us haven't thought about in the last few weeks. And I'm sure that doesn't make the people running for president very happy. But do we want another debate? Because Bernie Sanders says he's willing to take on Joe Biden in a proposed April debate, which Biden just was like, eh. I think we've had enough debates, said Joe Biden. The former vice president made that comment yesterday during a virtual coronavirus news briefing. Charlie, I don't blame Biden. Do you think we've seen enough presidential debates? Are we done?
Well, I can understand Bernie would like to get his name out there again. My goodness, it was in every story seemingly for 18 months straight till maybe the early part of this month. And now he's kind of off the radar. We've moved on to something completely different. And Joe Biden's probably loving it because, you know, he doesn't need to mess with the status quo right now, right? He's sailing to the nomination. I don't think anyone would be interested right now. I think all of our tensions have been diverted. But to Senator Sanders, he can sit back and, you know, hoist a nice glass of wine in one of his Vermont homes, knowing that many of his plans have come to fruition. I mean, we're giving every family $3,000 and investing in businesses in the private sector. And my goodness, you know, they used to say, je suis Charlie. Now, je suis Bernie.
Well, I'm going to hand it over to our good friend Yair Rosenberg, who writes for Tablet Magazine in New York. He said on Twitter, people say we are not living in hell, but I'm pretty sure a satellite lag delayed debate between Bernie and Biden in their basements is exactly how it was described in the Book of Revelation.
Yes. So
I had to chuckle at that. You know, honestly, two things. If I'm Bernie and Joe Biden, I don't want to go up on a debate after Governor Cuomo's been crushing it. I mean, that would be like me going up on stage to sing after Beyonce performs. Like, it's just going to look bad. There's no way I look good. But if you had to compare the two, Bernie gave a riveting speech in the Senate yesterday that, my goodness, I have to admit, I quite agreed with some of what he said. And so Bernie might be on fire in that debate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.